This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 4th of April, 2018. My name's Patrick Smith. We're a day late. This is probably the last podcast proper of the season because despite the Belfast Giants having a good Friday, on the third day, the Panthers rose again and unfortunately ended the season prematurely for the Belfast Giants. We have plenty to talk about over the next, I was going to say hour or so, but it's just a bit of a stripped down podcast because we've got so much to talk about. It's just the three of us. We're going to have a look at the weekend's games against the Panthers, look at the forthcoming weekend briefly because I'm sure Davey doesn't want to talk about it, maybe says doesn't either, and have a little bit of a reflection on the season. But I've mentioned names already. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
I'm not good, Paddy. Not f***ing good at all.
Wow, that's an early call for the bleep machine, but that's fair enough. Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm fabulous, Paddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for not swearing. yes, as I said, the Belfast Giants faced the Nottingham Panthers in the playoff quarterfinals, and for the first time in a number of seasons, they won't be reaching the Final Four this weekend in Nottingham. The teams that will be are Cardiff, Fife, Sheffield and the Nottingham Panthers, because it was the Nottingham Panthers who defeated the Giants. And let's have a look at those games. As I normally do with a double header, I'll go through all the statistics and then we'll start cracking into the games themselves. And the first leg was at the SSE Arena on Friday, Good Friday, and the Belfast Giants won 4-3. Unassisted opener for Darcy Murphy with nearly 10 minutes on that clock before David Rutherford, what was that, nearly just over a minute later, doubled it. And 3 minutes after that, Colin Shields on the power play put the Giants a 3-0 up. A 3-goal lead for the Giants, but it was start to be out away before the period was done. David Clark, with 7 seconds left in that first period, pulled it back to 3-1. Mark DeLargo, quite early in the second period, made it 3-2 before Jonathan Ferland put the Giants 4-2 ahead. The only other goal in the game came in the third period, and with the second of that game, it was David Clark. 4-3, it went into the NIC for Sunday. That game itself, in the game on Friday, Patrick Galbraith was in nets, 48 shots, 44 saves. Jackson was the other side, 26 shots, 23 saves. The referees were the same for both games, Tom Darnell and Pavel Hallis. From our WhatsApp group, I know that both Davey and Simon have a lot to say about that. On to Sunday, with that 4-3 lead, the Giants, unfortunately, went down 5-3 in overtime. Despite the fact that two goals in the first period from Jonathan Ferland, and quickly after, 19 seconds later, Kevin Rain with his first goal of the season, and his only goal of the season for the Belfast Giants, restored that 3-goal advantage for them. However, second period, I mean, the third period, we're all Nottingham Panthers. Mark DeLargo and Evan Mosey short-handed, stripping the puck. Maybe a bit of a slash as well from Jim Vandermeer, but brought the Nottingham Panthers back into it. Brett Pelini, as an extra attacker on a delayed penalty, levelled things up on aggregate for the Panthers before Jan Sove put them ahead. But 30 seconds later, Jim Vandermeer levelled everything on the night and we went into overtime. And overtime lasted, 4 minutes and 34 seconds of the 5 allotted minutes of 3-3 before Dan Spang ended the tie and put the Nottingham Panthers into the Final Four. In nets, Jackson Whistle, 29 shots, 24 saves. The other side, Patrick Albright, 37 shots, 34 saves. Same referees. A disappointing end, a premature end to the season, Davey. The Giants giving up a 3-goal lead twice.
Yeah, and that's kind of the story of it, isn't it, Paddy? Pretty disappointing because two pretty good performances from the Belfast Giants, I think it would be fair to say. We came out really, really well in that first game. And as you say, going 3-0 up. And the whole, for me, almost the whole tie hinges on that call, non-call on David Rutherford. It's one of those. You reach in with your stick and you don't get the puck. You put yourself at jeopardy of being called for a trip.
This is for the Panthers' first goal of the tie.
This is for the Panthers' first goal, which ultimately the score was something like 10 seconds left in the period. They come out with all the momentum in the second period and they get a goal 30 seconds. So within 60 seconds, the game has swung from a 3-0 lead and you're going into the locker room with your tails up, that you're going in with your head down and you've came down and you've lost. Now, the player reaches, can't remember who it is for the Panthers, reaches in, doesn't get the puck. You leave yourself at jeopardy for the call. Now, neither ref called it, so they're saying it's a dive. So either grab a set of balls and call the dive, call him for simulation. Either way, the play is called dead and there's no goal. I'm pretty disappointed that Pavel Halas can call Blair Riley for boarding from 170 feet. It wasn't a boarding call, but they can't get a call that's 10 feet in front of them. For me, it could have been called a trip or could have been called a dive. Could have been called, you can call both. No issue with that. It's so hard to tell on a game speed. You know, for me, that the game absolutely hinges on that one call. I'm all for the refs putting their whistle in their pockets in the playoff. But, you know, I think who from Panthers says got called for one on Jonathan Ferland? Was it Stevie Lee?
Stevie Lee.
Gets called for a very similar kind of thing. He's put his stick in. Ferley's gone down on it. Penalty. I think the Giants may have even scored in that power play. Can't honestly remember now. Let's see. Stevie Lee covered trip 25 minutes. No, it's a different one. But, you know, okay, we'll go away from that. Giants have came out.
Hold on. Sorry, just on that, David. Can I play devil's advocate and say it was a dive, right? Say the Pavel Halas thought it was a dive. It goes to David Clark and he goes up the ice and he scores. Does the referee just say, all right, they've already been hurt and I'll not give the dive as a penalty?
No, it would be scored in a delayed call then. True. So it would be fine. True. But I'm pretty sure that we have touched the puck in between times, so the players whistled down dead. For, you know, it's one of those. It didn't go for us. You have to get on with it. Our special teams weren't bad over the weekend. You know, Panthers didn't score when they had the extra man. They scored one on a delayed call on the Sunday night. But, and you know, the Giants have came up with two from seven, I think, on the Friday night.
Yeah.
No penalty or no power play goals on the Sunday game, but you know, disappointing, yes, as you've said, to cough up 3-0 leads twice in the fixture. For me, it's one of those, Paddy, you know, over the course of two nights, we've put over 120 shots on the Panthers goals. We've came up with seven goals. Now, I don't have the Panthers stats for misses and block shots, but in effective shots, they've had 57 shots on Wes and scored 8 goals. You know, we've done really well there. I shot them something, you know, 36, 37, 38 to 29 in their barn. We've outshot them 49 shots or something to 30 in our own barn. You know, we've had our opportunities to win that tie. It's cruel if we're taking this as a pair of games for a playoff game between two teams that have effectively had a 4-3 home win each to go into 3-on-3 overtime to decide something so big. The prize is so big to decide that on 3-on-3 overtime. When this weekend coming, if a game goes to overtime, as you've seen last year in the playoffs, and I think it was it Cardiff and Sheffield in the final last year?
Yes.
Didn't it go to double overtime?
Yeah, it was just nearly triple overtime, was it?
Triple overtime. You know, so why a week before in the quarterfinals play completely different rules to what you play in the semis and the final? This deserved more of a finale than 3-on-3 skills competition, exhaustion competition with three men on the ice deciding this, and we get caught in a bit of a line change. They get a rebound off Wes, and I think it's is it Dan Spang, the badly injured, yes. Dan Spang from Friday night, pops up and scores. But it's one of those. It's like a knife in the guts. You know, it's just.
Why do you say the badly injured Dan Spang, Debbie?
Well, you know, the Blair Riley's put a very legal check in on him. Dan Spang's tried to avoid a hit on the Friday night. Borden called, as I say, Tom Darnell's 25 feet away, sees nothing wrong with it. Pavel Halas is at the other blue line at best, calls it from there. The 2-minute minor, Panthers put it in for review, and gladly. Sense is seen. There's absolutely no foul in the play. You know, Dan Spang, they put it in on the basis of the players injured. Can't remember if he missed too much ice time the Friday night. Certainly didn't miss too much on the Sunday. And just a bit of sportsmanship or lack of sportsmanship from the Panthers. Again, trying to use the DOP system to weaken the opposition. I've always been against that. Wouldn't be happy if our team did it. Very disappointed that the away team did it. But, you know, look, two great crowds across the weekend. Over 10,000, nearly 11,000 people watched the two games and were treated to a right royal battle.
Simon, let's turn to you on this. The when the Giants had that one goal advantage going to the NIC, you know, you travelled across to the NIC. What were your thoughts? Do you think that a one goal advantage would have been enough?
I haven't been there before, and I mean, a few years ago with a 4-0 lead, I knew, you know, it was going to be a really difficult task. And you know, the Panthers, let's be honest, I mean, I listened to what Davey was saying there, you know, and the game, the two games hinged on that non-call for David Rutherford. You know, you're 3-0 up, you get that, you know, coming towards, I think it was 7 or 8 seconds left at the end of the first period. We shot ourselves in the foot, let's be honest. You know, we had a chance to get the puck out. We tried to, you know, knock it off the wall so it didn't go for an icing call. And they get it back. David Clarke does what David Clarke done for us, against us, over the last 14 years, whatever it may be. And, you know, scores with 7 seconds to go. That changes the whole conversation that Corey Nielsen's got going into the dressing room. They, you could see them coming off the ice. I mean, go back to the game in the Challenge Cup, second leg. They pulled back into it. We score with 4 seconds to go at the end of the second period. They go in with their heads down.
Yeah, I'm going to, sorry, I'm going to push back a little bit on this. That's 19 minutes and 53 seconds into a 124 minute game. You know, yep. I understand we've gone from 3-0, and as Davey says, to 3-2 in the 30 seconds of the second period. But we're talking about the opening stances of the game.
We are, but again, momentum is absolutely huge in this sport. It's huge in all sports. But, you know, as I say, those Nottingham Panthers coming off the ice at the end of that first period and, you know, bouncing off the ice. And then they were, when they come out for the second period, they were out before the Giants, bounced out onto the ice again, ready to go. And we three guys, you could have threw a blanket over it. We couldn't stop the puck going in the net. You know, that was a really disappointing goal to give away for their second goal. You know, again, coming back into the game, just getting the 2-goal lead, getting into the third period of Jonathan Fernand, I think it was.
Yep.
You know, Big John Kurtz created that and got it out front for Fairley. And you know, again, you're sitting thinking, right, okay, 2-goal lead, you'd be happy enough again. But, again, that bloody nemesis of ours, David Clarke, come back and get that goal. And then, as I say, heading over to Nottingham, I only decided to go to Nottingham on Sunday morning. And, you know, I can only describe the game as, if that had been the final, as a neutral, you're going to be gutted because you lost out. But it was an absolutely excellent game of hockey. Let's, you know, get that out of the way first of all. If I had been a neutral, it would have been a fantastic game of hockey. Again, we got a 3-goal lead over the tie, and giving that up for the second time was very disappointing. Very disappointing. You know, I had a bit of a go with Big Alan Price for saying that it wasn't good enough. And he has a point to a certain extent, but not being there, and I'm taking into consideration, the only thing that he has to go on is my comments that I'm putting out on Twitter, which my flipping fingers and thumbs were sore.
Tough work, Sunday night.
You know, we played well on Sunday night. With the first period, we absolutely dominated. Absolutely dominated the first period. You know, going in there, you're 3 goals up, and then they, you know, they come out in the second period, and their crowd was unbelievable in the second period. They never shut up, and that's one thing we all hate. You know, the Panthers fans can be a real pain in the ass, Aaron Lord included. He's probably listening to the number one podcast when he gets this tomorrow. And, you know, you're sitting there going, you know, these guys are, you know, they're going to come at you. They're definitely going to make an effort and basically try and push on, which we knew they were going to do, but we didn't look ready for them in the second period. We looked lethargic. We looked as if we didn't, you know, we just couldn't get a breath in that second period. And then, as I say, then you know, they got 4 clean goals. Jim Vandermeer scored within, you know, 30 or 40 seconds after Sobey gave them the lead. And you could see that really gave us a bit of momentum to go forward. And I thought we were going to win it, you know, going down last year, 4 minutes of the third period. Overtime, we dominated. We absolutely dominated them in overtime. But we couldn't put the puck past Galbraith. And then all of a sudden, they get a bit of a break coming out. As Davey's already commented on, you know, Halas calls, I think it was Marty he was going to call, the second delayed penalty of the game that he's called against us when he's been the trailing referee. And that's the second time they scored a goal in 2 delayed calls. So, you know, he's got the, they got the goalie off. They got Dan Spangy jumped off the bench, straight down the ice, slotted the pass, Jackson whistle, and that was the end of the game. So, oh, you know, the referees, sorry, David, the referees for me, you know, I, to be honest, I thought Darnell actually wasn't that bad over the tie. Yeah, you know, disappointed not getting that Rooney call. But Halas is not good enough at this level, in my opinion. You know, he's, I think he's called more slashing calls. And the first call penalty he gave the other night was slashing again. You know, absolute no-brainer. I said to Liam McSharry, he was standing beside me. But even when he called it, I knew, and it wasn't even a slashing call. I think it was a cross-check. But he called him for slashing. And it was disappointing to go out the way we did. I thought, you know, you posted a stat there on our WhatsApp group, Paddy, on either Sunday night or Monday morning, that, you know, the Panthers were ahead for like a minute and 40 seconds over the whole tie. And that just goes to show that we played, I thought we played well, but our big boys didn't play well enough. Their guys did, and our guys didn't. And that's what lost us the tie. Over the whole tie, our top line didn't play well enough.
Divi, is that down to skills? Is that down to them being a better? Because I said this time last week, or last week's podcast, I was convinced, and I'm still convinced, that we're a better side than the Nottingham Panthers. We've shown that we've been a better side than the Nottingham Panthers. We talked about this team 5-on-5 being one of the best sides, and if not the best side, in the Elite League. So why three goals do you drop? Is that down to ability, or is that down to mental fragility?
Paddy, there's an element of truth in that. You know, I saw certainly at times on Friday night when we came under pressure, head man and passes out of our own end, and, you know, panic stations at times that comes on us and has came on this team at certain times of the season. There seems to be a little bit of when we're really under the pump, we have the ability to crack. And I think it's just coming back on one of Simon's points there about Pavel slash Halas. You know, the biggest slash of the weekend, Evan Mosey on Jim van der Meer, right across his gloves, and skates in and scores shorthanded, which is a crucial goal to them just over halfway through the second period. You know, it's as clear a penalty as you will see in any Elite League game. And we've talked about Andy Dalton on the show the other week. We were talking about slashing calls, and the penalty is to be called on the action and not a result. The puck isn't up near his hands. If you slash up there, it's a penalty every game of the season.
And that's playoffs.
Paddy, the rules don't change.
The rules don't change, but we all know that in playoffs that a lot of things are let to play. That happens.
Have you watched the game back and seen some of the calls?
I have, Davey. But what I would say about that call in particular is if that goes the other way and they're crying about a slash, we're saying to them, playoffs. Are we not? Surely we are.
I would agree with you, Paddy. But as blatant a call as that, and within 3 seconds of pucks in the net, he's got to call it. You know, the way, as I say, Halas, it was the closest referee. He's got nothing blocking his view, and he doesn't make that call. It's a penalty all day long. And twice, we didn't lose this whole thing because of the referees. There were, you know, there were definitely a common denominator, but we didn't control the game and didn't close the game out twice at a 3-0 lead, and that's what lost us this game. Yeah. But I agree with Davey. That is as blatant a penalty as you're going to get in the playoffs, and it's not called, and it's absolutely crucial. Jim van der Meer doesn't lose his cool very often, but you could see how pissed off he was when he went straight over the referee after two referees. And, you know, Darnell was basically going, holding his hands up and going, look, you know, I was the trailing referee. You've got Halas standing looking at it, and, you know, it's probably the only slashing call he hasn't made this whole season.
I'm being the devil's advocate here, Davey, and that's the way that I saw it, and I agree with you. I didn't think overall that things were called maybe as well as they could have been. I still can't get away from the fact that twice over the course of the day we were 3-0 up, and as bad as maybe we see the calls of the referees being, something went wrong. You know,
look, you're absolutely right. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we lost the tie down to referee. And I think there was two massive crucial moments across the two ties where I think we didn't get the puck luck, if you want to call it that, the calls from the referee. I think it's a clear trip or it's a clear dive, whichever one you want to put it. And I think it's as clear a slash. And those two penalties have directly within seconds caused goals, which ultimately we've lost out a one goal game. And that there's two goals that we've caught. Take that away from it. I think that defensively, since mid to late January, we probably haven't been good enough. We haven't been good enough. Our forwards haven't been good enough defensively. At times, our defence hasn't been good enough defensively. And I don't think that we probably got the goaltending we needed. The numbers don't, you know, I'm the one that says stats don't lie. I think West over the two games is something like 855. That's not going to win you playoffs. And you know, that's just a statistical analysis rather than a critique of his performances, because he came up with some, you know, you've seen the highlight reel saves he's came up with as well. But I think, you know, when you put the numbers versus Galbraith's numbers, we needed more from the goaltending as well. And I just think that this team, it's something that, you know, no criticism at all of Brandon Benedict. The forward playing on D has had a fantastic season. Jeff Mason back there, who retired and came back. You know, we haven't got out of Jarry what we wanted to get out of him. So really you're relying there that you've got Spiro, Marty and Rayner as your sort of your top line defence. And we just haven't had the depth. Jimbo going out injured at late January put a real axe in our season. How we missed him down the stretch. And Vandy with 5, 6, 7 games under his belt might have been more of the controlling, powerful best D-man in the league for me. Him and Hotham are streets ahead of everything else in the league. And, you know, I'm just really frustrated about everything, Paddy. You know, you could probably... Yeah. I'm not one for stabbing people. I'm just so frustrated with everything that's happened here. Simon's already said it. Our big guys were outperformed kind of over the course of the two games. And that's a frustration because 5-on-5, we have been so good this season. We were good on special teams in these two games. And it just wasn't enough.
Goalkeeping says that save from Jackson Whistle diving across the ice, you know, brought a number of people in the NIC to his feet. Your thoughts?
I was sitting beside Big Matt Nickerson. The first thing I will say is the rebound he gives out,
awful,
created that opportunity for Pither, and he should have done better in that part. But the reactionary part of it was incredible. Both Nicker and I genuinely had the hands over the eyes because we thought it was a goal. Pither sort of, you know, if you watch the crowd behind Pither, they're all on their feet. They're all up as if to go, oh, goal. And, you know, for him to get back and make that save was I said at the time, it's potentially a save of the season. You know, at that moment, you know, they're really pushing second period. I think they'd already got it back to 2-2. And, you know, he makes that save and you're sitting going, wow, that's just, you know, that's just outstanding. However, that's what he's paid to do. He's paid to stop putting the puck in the net. You know, and for that, you know, for that to come out, and as I said, it's all created because of the rebound that's given out. So, you know, his rebound control over the weekend, again, as Davey said, you know, 8.55, you're not going to win a trophy like that. You know, if you look at his stats in the Challenge Cup, I'm sure it's a hell of a lot better. I don't know what it is. David might be able to tell you, but
I don't have it open. But his Challenge Cup was 9.34, and it's no coincidence that
absolutely
we won the Challenge Cup with numbers like that.
Yeah, and again, you're not going to win trophies and numbers like that. And nobody, you know, Galbraith, we're up 3 on Sunday, 3 in aggregate. We hit the crossbar, we hit the post in the second period, and that's small margins. I mean, minute margins. But that's you know, a wee bit of puck luck, as you say. And look, let's be honest, the Nottingham Panthers really, really, really wanted that on Sunday night. Their fan base was, like, I'm not a fan of the Panthers under any circumstances, but you've got to give a bit of kudos what it deserved. They genuinely were an extra man for them on Sunday. You know, they never, especially, you know, when they got that... the goal in the third period from Sove. I honestly thought their roof was going to come off. The atmosphere was excellent. And even for the small Giants crowd that we had there was probably only 40, maybe 45 fans that could actually make the game. And again, you know, still no webcast coming from that. And I just honestly, and that I'm paying honestly, Paddy, that trip cost me nearly 270 quid. And, you know, I don't have 270 quid to throw down the drain. But it was an excellent game of hockey. I'm glad I made the trip. Disappointing the end the way it did. But for the sake of a tenner watching that in the webcast, I'm pretty sure that any neutral fan who wasn't watching their own team on Sunday night would have been watching that game. And they would have made an absolute killing on that.
Well, the NIC is about to be set up to show four games of hockey across three different platforms with a webcast, the BBC, and on Facebook. So it's not as if the actual platform couldn't be set up to show it. And I think the point was made, a few points were made on Twitter, everybody clamoring for it, but it was a game that is scheduled at short notice. Therefore, despite the fact you said, you know, it was all Gary Moran on the highlights and almost sold out arena. So then why not? They've done it before with a game against the Sheffield Steelers. Why not put together a webcast where they're going to make a killing from fans in Belfast tuning in, regardless?
I'll tell you the way I'm looking at it, Paddy, and this is something that I was sitting thinking about on the way over in the flight. If Neil Black wasn't there and he was waiting business or whatever it may be, I can guarantee you that he was watching that game.
Yep.
Guarantee you. They had the cameras up. We could see them. They record the whole game. Davey watched it. Do you watch it on Sunday night, Davey?
Yep.
You know, so it's all there to be recorded.
I watched it yesterday. It's all it's put out on DVD by the Panthers.
Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous that, you know, the league should be issuing that, you know, they're saying about GLT and that's, you know, that's another bane of Davey's life this year. But every team should have to have an elite league. Sorry, should have to have a webcast. That's it. Because it's a bloody shambles. For all our fans not being able to get there. I mean, as I say, 270 quid for me to get there. You know, I had to leave. I had to fly to Birmingham. The flight, yeah, it definitely did help because the face was put back at 7 o'clock. So thanks very much to the Nottingham Panthers for that. But I'm sure as hell it didn't do it just for me. But, you know, the boys went over on a Saturday evening. You know, they were well rested. You know, they did opportunities, as I say, they went out and did their morning stretching on the on Sunday morning. But that's not taking anything away from our side of things. We were prepared for the game. Adam did have the guys up for it. But the Nottingham Panthers progress on to the finals and our season's over.
Dave, any comment on well, the discussion that was goalkeeping as well?
Well, I've already had my say on the goaltending, Paddy, there prior to says what was the second half.
Well, anything to say on the performance of the Nottingham Panthers?
No. You know, No,
you're going to leave it at that. Okay, well, I don't think, unless you think there's anything else to talk about in this game or on this tie, are there any other major points you think worth bringing up?
I have my say on the webcast and absolute nonsense. I still don't understand. We had Todd Kelman, a GM stroke owner stroke Jackie Moon, whatever killer does down there in, you know, Cardiff, on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to know, you know, webcasts do not affect bums on seats, and if you do, you're in the handfuls of numbers. You're not into the hundreds. That barn was, you know, as Gary Moran said on the highlights package, you know, an almost sold out barn, 5,500 more or less, give or take a man and a dog. And you know, that's a big numbers. You're telling me if there was a webcast, all of a sudden 500 people or whatever aren't going to buy a ticket for that game? Last home game of the season, granted, you know, they go to the Final Four, it's still a home venue, but last home game for the Panthers is always going to be a massive crowd against the Belfast Giants. You're chasing a one goal lead. The place was always going to be packed. There's no reason. It almost feels spiteful. And I've seen plenty of people said we shouldn't have put the webcast out. I kind of felt a wee bit like that as well. But you want as many Panthers fans too, you know, no love lost there or whatever, but you want as many people to be able to see the games between us as possible. And it, like, Sizz had to pay 270 quid, but for circumstances on Sunday, I would have made that 2.5 hour drive in a heartbeat to do that. 5-6 hour round trip plus £100 of diesel, you know, whatever. The cost is irrelevant to people. If you can get to the game, you'll be at the game. There seems to be this psyche that people will stay at home to watch a £10 webcast rather than go to the NIC and pay £15 to watch the product. Every single time, if I could go to the game, I would be at the game. The product is better live than on a webcast, but it's better on a webcast than refreshing flash scores or having to try and decipher what Simon Kitchen's saying. You know what I mean?
Sorry about that.
I love you, big man. But, you know, it's time. I just don't understand the business behind, and I'll bang the clan in with that as well, because they're selling pre-market every week as well. You know, Guildford. So I don't know what the story with Guildford is.
Led to believe Guildford's going to be online next season.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, they'll have to have a better setup than what they're recording with at the minute. But, yeah, you know, it's there to be done. You know, it took the storm a season just to get their footing in the Elite League and then go on and set up their product. And
there's a massive difference with the greatest respect to Manchester, Guildford, Milton Keynes. A massive difference than what there is in the Nottingham Panthers. They've got everything there.
Panthers are putting it out that it's because if they put away, they put that statement out. I can't remember whether it was Gary Moran or whether it was Neil Black. One of those was asked previously and said that don't do webcasting because it affects ticket sales. And that's just not, blatantly not true, because other owners are coming out and saying, well, it doesn't affect mine. So why would it affect?
Gary Moran watches our webcast every single game. Everyone.
He listens to A View from the Bridge every week too, and we'll say to you, Gary, let's, you know, the next time we're talking to you, we'll ask you that question, and you can answer, because I know there's plenty of Panthers fans listening in as well. So, you know, it's one of those. It's just unfortunate, because at short notice, we didn't know who we were going to have in the playoffs 3 weeks ago. So it's not like people can make arrangements to, you know, what are you going to do? Start just booking flights to go into East Midlands and go wherever we get from there. You know, we could have had Fife, we could have had anybody 3 weeks ago. So short notice, you've got to pay big bucks. Is it fair to ask people a week before playoffs that we're having to do exactly the same trip, flights, hotels, 7 days previous, to pay £300 a nut just to go and watch the game, when you could pay a tenner and watch it in your own house, or put it on in the cinema and pay a tenner to go and, you know, act? It's just frustrating.
The other side of that, Davey, is don't forget, I don't know how many he's going, but a hell of a lot of Belfast Giants fans are making the same trip this weekend. Now, you know, they've all got, and having to do that two weekends in a row, I don't know a lot of people that could afford it. And, you know, it's, for me, as I say, it was £270 for the day trip. We only decided, I mean, I stuck it out on Twitter, seriously considering going, and then Liam McSherry contacted me, and then Big John Smith, and I just went, you know what, let's do it. Let's just book it and go. So I booked the flight, booked the hotel, booked a hire car to Birmingham, drove back Monday morning, back in again on Monday at lunchtime. I have to give a shout out to Liam McSherry for booking the wrong flight the way back. He's standing down at the door waiting to get on the plane, and your mom wouldn't let him on. He booked the flight two hours later. We were literally standing in the queue at the stairs, ready to get on the bus to go to the plane. And he booked the wrong flight. But, you know, for them, for Nottingham Panthers not having that the option of letting Belfast Giants fans watch it, or anybody else around the league. I know many viewers we had at Giants TV on Friday night, and let's just say that they would not have been disappointed with the numbers that they would have got from Belfast Giants fans. I have absolutely no doubt that there would have been at least 4 to 450 watching that. That's 4,500 to 5,000 pounds.
It is the Premier League conversation that will be had, like referees and DOPS. It's the why don't the Nottingham Panthers do a webcast? I don't think it'll ever be answered, but disappointing that we weren't able to see it. Disappointing the result of the outcome. What I'm going to do, gents, just to briefly move it ahead. The highlights are available for both games if you want to watch them. Belfast Giants TV for Friday and Panthers TV both on YouTube from Sunday. With regards to the forthcoming weekend and the final four, of course, ours was only one of three quarterfinals that went on over the course of the weekend. Also on Friday, the Cardiff Devils took a 4-2 lead away to the Coventry Blaze. Before the Blaze give them a bit of a scare back at Ice Arena Wales on Sunday, but overall the Cardiff Devils did win that tie 4-3, and they progress. On Saturday, there were two games. As I just open up the window, yes, there were two games. The Guildford Flames took on the Sheffield Steelers in Sheffield, and Sheffield walked out 5-2 ahead in the first tie, while in Fife, the Manchester Storm absolutely obliterated the Fife Flyers 4-1, or so they thought. Into Sunday, for both of those games, Sheffield Steelers lost to Guildford but went through on aggregate score, while at the Drizzle Dome, the Fife Flyers won 5-1 in overtime. Now, I hate to do this, boys, but let's return to our predictions from last week, and I'll just read through them and see who got what. Davey, you predicted Cardiff, correct. Guildford, nope.
Close. At one stage it was close.
Guildford, nope. Manchester, nope. Belfast, unfortunately not. So that's 1 out of 4. Simon, you predicted Cardiff, yes. Sheffield, yes. Manchester, nope. Belfast, unfortunately not. And then there's me.
Cardiff, is that just a bit on here, no?
Cardiff, yes. Sheffield, yes. Fife, yes. Belfast, no. So I take the prediction game, but unfortunately it's Belfast that let all of us down with regards to what we predicted. However, looking at those results, Davey, I think it's the Fife one that shocked us all.
And shocked probably nobody more than Ryan Fennerty. You know, I think that they'd gone up to Fife, done a bit of a number, and expected to be able to close it out down in Aldringham. And unfortunately for them, and you know, I think that
they've got Luke Moffat was chirping the crowd as well, coming off the ice.
Yes, and you know, very dangerous. It's a funny habit of biting you in the ass, this game. And you know, from everybody concerned down in Manchester after the game, they seemed to be a bit shell-shocked, and you know, they put themselves in a position to win. And unfortunately, you know, an awful lot of Steelers fans really seem to jump on that, really seem to have a disdain and a dislike for the Storm, because they're claiming to be the original Storm or whatever. It's a funny narrative, that one. But unfortunately for Finner, unfortunately for the Manchester Storm, I suppose Neil Russell still has a bit of an affinity with that club there. He'll be disappointed as well.
So is there anything else from those qualification games that shocked you, other than our own result, of course?
I thought that, you know, the halfway through the Cardiff, actually came in the third period, Cardiff and Coventry game, Cardiff had put it at level, and I was keeping an eye on that score when I was, you know, watching the, because they were, I think we were the last ones to face off on Sunday night, so that was finishing earlier than ours. So, you know, there was a lot of talk around the people that were there, you know, Coventry are back in this, and then, you know, the Devils obviously stuck their foot down and scored another couple. So, but, you know, I thought it was great to see Fife, you know, for them being down 4-1 to come back and get, you know, the same result and then take it the overtime in the Drizzle Dome. You've got to take your hat off to Todd Durham and you know, Jeff John Hutchins, and you know, they did a great job. And you know, going in and going to the Final Four again.
Is this like the third time in 4 years or something like that for the Fife Flyers in the Final Four?
I think it is, Paddy. I think it is 3 and 4. But, you know, the big thing about it is we were our own worst enemy coming down the stretch. You know, mm-hmm. For spending the majority of the season in second place, losing Jim was huge. I mean, absolutely massive. And then going, you know, the remaining, I think it was 24 games, less than 500, that was our season in a hat. The only game that we really, really turned up for was the Challenge Cup final. And it's fantastic having that, you know, trophy to finish the season. But I think Adam will be very disappointed the way the season's ended. Yes, again, it's all good and well getting a trophy in his first season. But I think he'll be, as I say, I think he'll be disappointed coming down the stretch with the results and maybe, as I say, guys who maybe looked switched off for the summer already after that final, and then coming down and going the way that turned out and going out in the playoffs. You know, I was speaking to them after the game, and you know, I was sitting on the, you know, we've all been down that where the dressing room is in Nottingham. And that's the quietest I've ever heard it. I mean, even when we got beat there before, you can see that, you know, there's guys there who You know, we'll always come out. Spear will come out. The first guy out of the dressing room after they were changed, came straight over, shook my hand, and Jonathan Ferland was next to, you know, did exactly the same thing. You could see that they were all hurting. You could see that, you know, Adam, you know, again, I sat in the tunnel. Adam would normally call me into his, if it's in the SSC, he'd always call us into the room. And it's just let it, you know what, I'll just let him have his own space. That's what I said to you guys after as well. You know, I didn't get the players interview, plus my battery was literally dying. So I only had enough time to get Adam on there. And then when I got back to the hotel, obviously uploaded and sent it on to you. You could see that the guys were hurting. You could genuinely see that. And if I hadn't seen that, then I'd have been really, really pissed off. But a very disappointing end to what could have been a fantastic season. Ended up a good one, but it could have been a hell of a lot better.
Says, just the, not to throw a question at you, but what can you put it down to when you can see a team like this? Let's look at the couple, just two fixtures. Semi-final of the Challenge Cup away in Nottingham. Mm-hmm. We beasted them 5-1. Absolutely, for me, the best performance of the season, even over the Challenge Cup final. We were able to put in an unbelievable performance away in Cardiff. We've had several good performances in Cardiff this season, but the Challenge Cup final, a team that has the undoubted ability to raise itself to an incredible level, can go down in a week to Edinburgh, Milton Keynes, Dundee,
Manchester.
And I'm taking nothing away. I think we actually played pretty well across the weekend. I think there was just such fine margins in playoff hockey, and I still think the 3-on-3 overtime in the playoff situations are nonsense. I think there's a TFA we'll probably come on to later about series, but you know, this team should have maybe had more than, not necessarily a league title, because I think Adam Keefe's still in that learning curve, but shouldn't have calved the way we did from the middle of January.
Well, I think it was the doubleheader against Cardiff at home when we split that. Won the first game in OT. That was the game that was the goal Darnell ruled out, and then held his hands up straight after the game and go, biggest, worst decision I've ever made. And then we got a shootout goal that we ended up getting in that game, and then going out the next night and losing that, and then losing Jim van der Meer. Now, again, I know one person doesn't make a team, but he makes us tick. He really does make us tick. I thought that, you know, when you go out a week later and you get beat by Edinburgh and Milton Keynes in your own barn, and with the greatest respect to both, they should not be beating us, whether it's home or away, in my opinion. You know, we should have that in our locker to go and win that game. And I just think guys realised that these are the bottom two teams in the league and just went, I think I'll get 50% here tonight. Now, we all know that Adam will take responsibility for the losses because that's what a good coach does. But to be honest with you, I was disappointed that the top guys didn't come out and go, that's our fault. You know, it's nothing to do with Adam. This is where, you know, we should have come out there with better effort levels. We should have basically had more energy. They're at home, so they didn't have to go on the road. I mean, Edinburgh, the week they beat us, I think they had three games that week. That was their third game. And they came into Belfast and beat us. Milton Keynes played the night before, as did we. They had to travel the next morning, and then they beat us. And you're sitting going, having to call all those games, 26 games, January, February and March, at home.
You put a shift in, sis?
What's that?
You put a shift in?
Again, I have the easy job. I just get to talk about a sport that I love.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, it's difficult to try and show a bit of, people are saying I'm fast. Do you know what? Yes, I am fast. I'm just pissed off at people going, oh, you're too fast, you're too bad. So what? I'm a Belfast Giants fan. So I'm allowed to be fast. It's a Belfast Giants webcast. I'm watching some of these NHL games. And, you know, you take your man Jack, who does the Boston Bruins games. He's probably sitting there with an watching the Boston Bruins. You know what I mean? He absolutely loves it. He can show a bit of emotion, but I can't. Rant over for that. But, you know, I just think that we just thought that there's guys there that, teams that are coming into Belfast that we don't have to put a shift in. And that's a mental thing. I think it's guys just being, right, well, do you know what? I'm going to score 4 or 5 points here tonight, and I'm going to try and lead the team in points scoring. And that's the disappointing bit for me. It's a team game. It should be about not who's getting the points, assists or goals. Instead of turning around to the referee as soon as a goal goes in, looking for an assist or looking for a goal or tip out in front. Do you know what? Let's get it out there as a team. And yes, Adam will definitely learn from the mistakes that he's made this season. And but I'm disappointed that some of the leadership in that room didn't stand up and be counted and take responsibility for it away from the coach. I'm disappointed in that.
It's been interesting looking at some of the reactions when we've walked away from the season and saying that it is. Some people come forward, a lot of statistics being thrown forward and saying, you know, fifth in the league, out in the quarterfinals, but it does a challenge. And we've got some TFAs regarding that, which we'll probably come back to. One thing I've kept saying is that, you know, this team has been it's been a lot more entertaining to watch than we've seen in the last few seasons, with all due respect to Thorts and all due respect to Derek Walser. This one was guys like Jonathan Ferland and all out there, Sylvester and the goals that he scored. You look at that last dying seconds goal against the Nottingham Panthers where you lost your pen. We've had so many highlights this season, and then you take into the run that we went into away from home. That over November, December, the fact that we had to go on a long road stretch that we actually saw that as being the main challenge of the whole season, is getting through that and remaining in contention, which we did. So therefore, when you've got that home stretch, you're thinking, bang, that's exactly what we need. Now, you brought up the loss of Jim Vandermeer, and I totally agree. Kind of like in that sort of Calvin Elfring role of organisationally at the back. So therefore, when we look forward into next season, and I don't want to preempt any more of the TFAs than I already have, but looking forward in the next season, Davey, defensive depth, leadership and defensive depth. Jerry didn't really do it with regards to defensive. He was under fire all season. He was under fire from us, and then one week he popped up with like four assists, but he didn't really perform this season. Kevin Ryan, I liked a lot, but maybe not. But a role player, not really an organizer at the back. Marty, not really an organizer at the back. It's that defensive organization and depth in it that maybe. Do you think that next season Kiefer will look at?
Oh, he'll rebuild from the back. He'll rebuild with between the pipes, and we'll go forward from there. I think, you know, cliche to say championships are built on defense and goaltending, but they are, you know, and we didn't get enough of that down the stretch. As you've said, we talked plenty about being in contention in the new year, and I think we started that pretty well. I think with 6, 7, 8 games in a row we won, and then I think we went to Nottingham and Sheffield over the course of a weekend, and we lost back-to-back games, and it all started a bit stuttery from then. And, you know, we just, as I say, going 500 down the stretch is no good. I think what we were saying earlier on, Simon, there about 20 games, 25 games, and we're less than 500.
It was 24 games, and it was 13-11.
But most of those games.
Sorry, 11-13.
Most of those games at home. And unfortunately for us, we have had an Achilles heel over a number of seasons that the home form hasn't matched the road warrior form. And it was something that was identified certainly by Kiefer at the start of the season, that we were going to have to be better in the SSE, the Odyssey, whenever, especially when the new year came around. We knew how hard it was going to be that first half of the season. And, you know, this has been a really good team to watch. Yeah, it's been a 100%. Good, on its day, I'll caveat it with that. You know, scored the most goals in Giants history per season. I think I said earlier, 293 goals across the course of the season. Okay, we've conceded a bit slippy at the back at times as well, but, you know, it's had that brand of hockey. It sometimes went across the line. You know, our discipline has killed us at times. Short-handed, we've given up an awful lot of goals shorthanded this season. I would hazard a guess to say it's been our worst season ever for shorthanded numbers. You know, and just our special teams haven't been as good as what they have been in the past. So there's things that Kiefer will easily be able to identify as having to improve on. Our power play has to be better. Our penalty kill has to be better. And defensively, to a man, we have to be better, not just the back two and the goalie. You know, our forwards have to be better defensively. Our plus-minus numbers would suggest that there's things that can be worked on there too. So, you know, overall, I don't think it's, you know, revolution. It's not easy to say. It's evolution rather than revolution. I don't think it's completely back to the drawing board. I think it's specific tweaks in certain areas need done. But, yeah, this team 5-on-5 Adam Keith built a really, really good hockey team that on their night could compete and beat anybody.
Evolution, not revolution, means we should evolve, not revolve. Says, when you look forward to next season and you look at this team, where do you see the key points where rebuilds have to happen?
It's a good question, Paddy. It's, you know, I really enjoyed this year. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I love calling the games on Belfast Giants TV with some absolute cracker games and on Giants TV this year. And, you know, the games against Cardiff Devils obviously stick out in your head because they're all, apart from taking one out of the equation, they're all, you know, one-goal games mostly. And then, you know, you've got the Manningham Panthers coming in. We played them 12 times over the season. And you know we edged it slightly, and you know you're 6-4 was in the league form was 4 wins and 4 losses. We beat them twice in the Challenge Cup, and we beat them once in the playoffs. You know, so you're 7-5 against them. You look at Sheffield games. You know, again we dominated Sheffield this year. But from where we go from here the next season, I think that, you know, as Davey's already pointed out, it's all about building from the back. And, you know, Jackson had, I think he had an okay season. He had some really good games, absolutely. But I think he had an okay season. I think if he's looking back on his own form, he'd probably be disappointed that there's a number of goals there. I mean, you know what, but didn't even touch on the goal that he gave away on Sunday night, the first one. And then that's a brain fart coming out of the zone. It should have been an icing call. And he comes out and tries to puck, throw the puck into the corner, and they have an empty net to shoot into, you know. So it's wee things like that. He's a young guy, and I think he'll learn from that. You know, but is he coming back next year? I don't know. You know, Stephen Murphy has been out all year, and that's hurt us. Chris Truel's come in. You know, I don't think he'd get anybody to ask for a better teammate than Chris Truel for what he's done off the ice and not getting the opportunities apart from maybe 4 or 5 on a row down the stretch. But again, you know, the numbers that they were put up by Chris and Davey saying about, you know, defences or championships are built on defence. But our defence was let down by our forwards down the stretch. You know, they weren't covering their own men. They weren't picking up guys coming back. And we lost. Literally, while Davey and yourself were talking there a few minutes ago, I was looking back at the last 19 games since Jim went down. We're 11-8. Sorry, 8-11. 8 wins, 11 losses. And that's not good enough. You know, the longest stretch of games that we won this year was 6 in the league. 6 in a row. We've done that twice. We did it in January after Sheffield. We lost the first game against Sheffield at the start of January at home, and then beat Sheffield, beat Nottingham twice, beat Coventry twice, and I think it was Guildford. Was the next one. So, you know, 6 games in a row and then losing 2 and 6, winning our 6 and losing another 2. And then you get the Cardiff Devils who we beat them at home, and Davey was at that game in late, I think it was late November, Davey. And we dominated them in their own place. And then they came out and I think it's 17 in a row. That's how you win championships. So for us, going into next season, I think there'll be quite a number of changes. I think that there'd be guys who maybe want to come back. And I think that there'll be guys who I know there's a couple of looking at retiring, and maybe they're the type of guys that you'd want to stay around. You know, the effort levels and the desire that they've shown while they've been in Belfast, whether it's 1 year, 2 years. But I think it's going to be disappointing from the aspect for where Adam is. Looking right now and where he thought that we were going to end up going down the stretch, I think he'll look at the whole setup and go, right, well, we need to start there in the goaltending situation. And then I'm sure he's already started thinking about, well, I'm sure he said it in the interview was did with him after the game on Sunday night. Next season starts Monday, because this is Wednesday night, so I'm sure they're already looking at where they're changing, where they're bringing in. And it'll be interesting to see where it starts.
One last thing to talk about before we just move towards the TFAs and the likes. The KOTG, Roof and the Bridge MVP award for this season was awarded on Friday night to Ram Martinelli, who, regards to the votes we got in, he got far and away around, I think it was like 44% of the votes, with the next one, I think, being Kevin Rain. Oh, no, it was Darcy Murphy, who got like 11%. So far and away, the MVP as voted for by you was Ryan Martinelli, who, Davey, I believe you put out a stat as well regards him being the Iron Man of the side.
The only player this season to appear in every single game for the club. And as Simon knows as well, and you know yourself, there's certainly times through, you know, the season that he could have and probably should have missed games, but, you know, he put the club very much at the forefront of his mind at a difficult time. And, you know, we were struggling with injuries and suspensions at the time, and say he could have joined the list of unavailable players, but he chose to stick it out, and he played all 68 games the club appeared in. He led the team in shots blocked, he led the team in hits, he led the team in plus minus. He popped up with goals and assists when he needed to. And for me, MVP.
Simon?
Yeah, again, you know, all those categories Davey's mentioned. I think, again, going down the stretch, I think he maybe tailed off a wee bit. My MVP for the whole season would have been Steve Saviano. I thought he was excellent. I honestly thought the wee man was brilliant. You know, his effort levels, I mean, Davey talked about conceding shorthanded goals. I think he scored, was it 4 or 5 this year, Davey? Mm-hmm. You know, and the effort levels that he's shown the whole way through his 2 years in Belfast have been absolutely outstanding. Marty did well, but again, I think he tailed off a wee bit coming down the stretch. So for me, it would have been Sal.
We've talked about the team and what there were some absolutely remarkable individual performances right across the team. You talk about Spear, you talk about Sal, you talk about, you know, even Darcy Murphy coming at a slow start, but came into his own towards the end of the season. I thought was absolutely superb. You know, I think that regards to Ram Martinelli, you know, we talked about how he was nominated for the Player of the Month award month on month before he finally won it around, what was it, November, December time, and he'd more or less been nominated every single month in the month of in the year of 2017. So, you know, a remarkable season for him, a remarkable more or less a year and a half. Maybe, okay, I'll take your comment regards to him tailing off towards the last few games of the season, says, but I think a lot of players did that, to be honest with you, after the win in the Challenge Cup, just looking at them. But I have to congratulate Ryan Martinelli and Davey. I know you're proud of the fact that that's an award that's been given every single year.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those, and probably league-wide, there's very few awards outside of the club's own awards, if you like, you know, the official club awards that have been awarded now. What's this, going back 18 years now, Paddy, right back to Shane Johnson getting a t-shirt back in the year 2001 and going right through. And I put the list out the other night, a real who's who of Belfast Giants. You know, Jason Rupp's won it, Theo Fleury's won it, Calvin Elfring just a number of years ago and picked up by Benny, and I think
Darren Riley, two-time winner, Stephen Murphy, two-time winner.
Yeah, you know, some incredible memories of that. Stephen Murphy, as I remember presenting Stephen Murphy with it 2010 before I had to head off to live in England for a while. And, you know, for me, I love the nostalgia. I love the history of the sport and things like that. We will try and keep that going for as long as we're involved in it and hope it. Whenever we're not involved with it, somebody else will pick up the baton and run with it. Paddy, there's, you've got the, you know, the old school Lynchy there presenting it with new school Lynchette who's really getting into the game. So who knows, maybe in years to come it'll be her job to pick it.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. Thanks to the Lynchies for presenting it. Thanks to the Giants for letting us do it. And congratulations to Ryan Martinelli, your 2017-2018 Belfast Giants, King of the Giants, a view from the bridge MVP. Briefly, lads, before we get to the TFAs, two games this weekend that we don't really care about as Belfast Giants fans, but the Fife Flyers against the Cardiff Devils is at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and the second game is the biggest rivalry in the world ever. At 5 p.m. at the NIC, it's the Nottingham Panthers against the Sheffield Steelers. The winners of both obviously go into the final on Sunday. The losers of both go into what is now known as the, quote, commiseration game, which is on earlier on Sunday. And with regards to coverage, you'll be able to watch both the semi-finals on EIHL.tv. I believe they're £10 a game. The commiseration game will be streamed live on the Elite League Facebook group. I know some people might have a couple of pound on that. And the final itself this year, again, is covered by the BBC on the red button. Before we come to those TFAs, just comments on these. I know there is still an interest for Belfast Giants fans in this weekend, because should the Cardiff Devils go on to win the final and take their second major trophy of the season, the Belfast Giants will then qualify for the Continental Cup, but only if the Cardiff Devils win the weekend.
That's the only thing I'm interested in. I'd love a trip to Europe. The worst thing part about it is that if they do win it, then, you know, it's going to be like the 1966 England team winning the World Cup. You know, we're going to hear the end of it. I'll be muting quite a few people if Cardiff do win it, but I'll be looking forward to a trip to Europe. But to be honest, I can't see outside of Cardiff. I think they're too strong to get that far and not win it. I think Cardiff will go on and do the double.
I think that's the question, Davey. Will the Belfast Giants be in Europe next season?
I find it very hard to get any sort of... do you know what? In the maybe 15 years or so that I've been going to the playoffs, I have never seen a game not involving the Belfast Giants. No interest. And I'll certainly not be tuning in and paying £20 to watch either of the games on Saturday. It's one of those, like Simon has said.
Personal preference,
right? Yeah, if the Belfast Giants go to Europe on the back of a Cardiff Devils win, you know, at the end of the day, it'll be deserved, because the Challenge Cup's much harder to win than the playoffs, and this format that the playoffs has is still what it is in this league. It's been many, many years since it was a bit of a longer format. It must be back about 2003, 2004 or something. It was a bit of a longer format in those ISL days. But, you know, honestly, Paddy, if they were playing in the Garden, just to quote Neil Russell, I'd pull the curtains.
Right, well then, let's move ahead. Final part of the show, your TFAs, and we'll come back to that point, Davey. We've got one in from Phil Armstrong, WeePhil56 on Twitter, saying, if the option was available to have playoffs to be a series like in North America, would you prefer that, or do you actually like the setup as it is currently?
It's an absolute no-brainer that it needs to be a series. Going back, you know, okay, a one-off final is going to be what it is, because the playoff finals is the cash cow for the league to get all those people for 2 days into that arena. The finals is never going to change. The process of getting to the final needs to be more than a three-on-three shootout, because two good teams put everything on the line across two nights. One team won 4-3, one team won 4-3. The two home teams won 4-3. One goal games. Ended up all square, and yet it's a complete lottery. It was almost on penalty shots, which I don't agree with either, as a way of deciding who gets a showpiece and something as important as the playoffs is a fantastic opportunity to win a trophy. And, you know, you go on to this weekend, I'll sort of harp back a wee bit there. You know, I think that the Devils' only opportunity of not winning is that it could be Corey Nielsen's last game as Panthers, and he's proven over the years that in the short format of games, he's a very, very capable coach and gets his teams up for them. And, you know, if they can get past Sheffield on Saturday night, which I believe they can, it sets it up for a Panthers final. Corey Nielsen in the NIC for the last time. I think that's our only opportunity. And yeah, a European trip would be nice. It would be nice to go and win the playoffs and get it that way, but you have to get in the back door sometimes. That's not a bad thing to do either.
The other side of it being, if the Nottingham Panthers lose that semi-final, then they face the fact that Corey Nielsen and David Clark's last game for the Nottingham Panthers will be a third, fourth place playoff at the NIC. Not really a great one. But says, coming back to you, you know, the regards to the series, I know, actually, give me own thing before you come to it, is the fact that I do think that there should be a little bit of a rejig, but we've always said it, we've talked about that, you know, about whether the Challenge Cup needs a bit of a rejig, the league itself, the conferences we spoke about earlier this season, and how they've taken away the seeding, so therefore the conferences are more about pragmatism than about sport. I'd like to see maybe even a best of three. Could you imagine that, both the Fife Manchester game and our game going back to a game three? Back of whoever would host the next one, it'd be absolutely electric with regards to the even like the Cardiff I think all four semi-finals would have went to, all four quarter-finals would have went to a, oh no, the Cardiff one wouldn't, but the Sheffield-Guildford would have went to a game three, ours would have went to a game three, and Manchester Fife would have went to a game three. Okay, not the, the longevity of a seven-game series, but still that added piece of, that bit of spice to it all. Well, there was another point I was going to make, but it says your take on it.
Pally, I think you're 110% right. And I'm pretty sure if you ask the coaches, they'd think the same thing too. You know, yes, it's you know, a three-game series for me, then we would have had to travel twice. Do you play it three nights in a row? I don't think you should be doing that. I mean, I thought, in fairness, the way Nottingham, Belfast did this weekend, you play Friday and Sunday. Thought that was, you know, a really good choice. I'm pretty sure that if the Giants had had the Saturday available, they would have took the Saturday instead of the Friday. But, you know, it's, I think it's got to, they've got to look at that and change it for next season or maybe the following season. You know, if at least a three-game series would be great. I think five would be better, to be honest. You know, you've got the first two at home. Or actually, you play the first. Yeah, you play the first away. If you're the higher choice, if you know what I mean, so you get potentially three at home, and do you split the gate on the third one? Do you know what I would on the deciding one? I mean, you know, absolutely split the gate, wherever it might be, home or away. So it makes it advantageous to both teams. But I do think that three at least is the way forward because all the coaches want it. Adam would definitely be in favour of it. I know that for a fact. But it's the IHL we're talking about here. You know, I can't see it happening anytime soon.
The other thing I remembered was going to say was regards to the conference. I do away with the conferences altogether, right? It worked for what it was. We've gained a little bit of a, well, it worked for what it was regards to the Scottish teams, but it's not working with regards to Sporting. I just retain the 12 team league in a normal sort of league setup as it is. However, when it comes to the playoffs, teams 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they go straight through to the playoffs. 7, 8, 9, and 10. Well, 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9. So basically the top 6 go through. They have a bye week. So they miss a week. They have a bye week, and in that bye week, 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9 for the two remaining spots. Therefore, you've got teams 9 and 10, even if they think that they're out of the hunt for the playoffs, they've still got an opportunity to get into the playoffs because they'll play in a mini. They'd sort of do that sort of thing in the DEL, where if you are still like dropping away, you've still got an opportunity to fight your way into the playoffs on a one-off game or a one-off, a two-legged round of 16 game that would get you through. It's, there are little bits and pieces you could improve the league, but as you say, says, I don't think it's willingness and there, we always hear the excuses about the arenas and the rinks and stuff and how true they are. You know, I'm sure they are very true, but you know, there are little tweaks to this league that could make it so much better.
Oh, dear Paddy, again, it doesn't take a rocket science to work that out. Mm. You know, I just think that, you know, the elite league, yes, they made strides in the last few years. I mean, David pointed out to me yesterday about the playoff shirts. There wasn't one made for Edinburgh. So does that mean we're going down to 11 teams next year? Or Edinburgh out?
Or they saw that Edinburgh weren't actually getting anywhere near the playoffs long before, and they just didn't make them a shirt, which is pretty disrespectful anyway.
I agree again. You know, if you're doing it for one, you've got to do it for everybody. But, you know,
I have my suspicions on that, says. My suspicion on that, and this is merely speculation, is that the money, the revenue from the shirt sales is divvied out equal shares between all the teams, and if your team's not going to be there next season, well, then you don't need your share.
I don't know if it is, Davey. I mean, I, to be honest, I don't really care. But, you know, the whole weekend of that, you know, that's where they make their money, to pay officials and to pay, you know, everything else that they need to pay throughout the season for the elite league. And you know, it's again, I've seen that Cameron Hughes is coming in there tonight. And,
well, we'll come up. We've got a question about that.
Okay. But for me, I said it 2 months ago. Edinburgh, for me, I think they've run their course. And you know, I always enjoy going to Edinburgh. I mean, we had some great trips out of that one come back to the Gardaí, wasn't it the Gardner Trophy? Back in, it's probably 10 years ago now.
Yeah, the Gardner Cup, yeah.
Gardner Cup 10 years. It was a brilliant weekend. I can't remember much about it, but I know what a good time.
Stole the pint.
you're looking at events like that, and Edinburgh, let's be honest, I mean, the finished bottom every season, I'm pretty sure. Yes, they've said that the new ownership and the new board members on board, and that'll all be all, I'm pretty sure that'll be all good and well until mid-November next year when they'll start to fall apart again. Yes, they beat us twice this year, and fair play to them, because we didn't put, you know, as much concentration and effort into it as we should have. But I just think that it should be three home, three away. Everybody plays each other. I like your idea with regards to, making sure that potentially 10 teams have the opportunity to go to the final eight. I think that's a really good shout to do that in the Irish League here now, for the playoff positions for Europe, which and for Irish League clubs is a massive amount of money. I mean, you go for the first three teams. First team in the Irish League goes to the Champions League. The second and third goes to the Europa League. And then the winners of the Irish Cup goes to the Europa League. But there's another spot now. And four, five, six, and seven play off against each other for that extra place in the Europa League. And if they get into the Europa League, they get €150,000. Now, that's potentially a budget for a lot of the Irish League clubs. Well, maybe not a lot of them, but quite a few of them. But I just think that they need to look, I think they need to look outside the box in the Elite League and try and do something that the fans can go, do you know what? Fair play, guys. Absolutely brilliant. We all did it when it was announced that Guildford and Milton Keynes were coming on board last year. Went from 10 teams to 12. And you know what? You've got to hold your hands up to both, especially Guildford. Guildford had a great season. And the Milton Keynes Lightning were doing all right as well until, you know, probably around Christmas time and they fell apart. So for me, Paddy, I think it's a brilliant idea you come up with there regarding potential playoff opportunities next year. It's not going to happen, but...
Nah. Right, next question. I'll stick with you, says Thomas Brownlee at Dr_Thomas. Come back to a comment that was made. Does a, inverted commas, paid fan like Cameron Hughes actually contribute anything to the atmosphere of a game, or does it detract from the natural atmosphere?
I think, and that obviously we're talking about the playoff weekend here.
Yes, Cameron Hughes, who obviously we've seen at the Belfast Giants games, and he's now done a few Cardiff Devils games, was announced today by the Elite League to be appearing to help along the atmosphere at the playoff weekend.
You've got to give it to him. I mean, this guy who just jumps about and acts a dick, gets paid a lot of money for going around. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of people at the SSC would be able to be paid for that.
I would.
But... Absolutely. I don't know what it's costing to bring him in. I know he lives in North America, so he's going to be flying across the Atlantic Ocean, which isn't going to cost pennies. He's going to put him up in a hotel for a couple of nights, and I'm sure he'll get a big pay packet out of it as well. However, I think that Steph, the announcer at Nottingham, does a great job drumming the
it's not him the playoffs, man.
Yeah, what's it?
It's not him at playoffs. It's Darren Bavister, the guy who does the Bracknell.
I thought it was Steph. Well, fair play. That guy at the playoff does a brilliant job. I think he does a brilliant job. Always tries to get the different sections up, trying to get everybody involved. I don't think it's required. I think it's a waste of money. And as I say, I don't really care because I'm not going, so it doesn't really worry me in the slightest. But I don't think it's required. I think you should be looking to save that money and spend it somewhere else.
I think I know a lot of people have been, when they put out, you just have to look down at the thread of responses to the Elite League's tweet about the amount of vitriol that was thrown at the fact that he's coming in. I don't see the point. I can understand he's good at what he does. He is good at what he does. And when he came to Belfast, he's able to get the non-hockey casuals and give a bit of entertainment there. But Davey, the playoffs is probably the most, there are not many non-hockey casuals at the playoffs. So is there a requirement to bring someone like him in? Or is it just an added entertainment?
I think it's a bit of added entertainment for the playoff finals weekend. You know, I think that social media is an abhorrent place sometimes. You know, some of the stuff that's been written about this guy is beyond the pale, not nice, unnecessary. the end of the day, it's not his fault. He's been employed. That's what he does. The league have gone and offered him the money. I see the Coventry Blaze there tonight saying that they've paid for Scorch to travel to the playoff weekends. They're playing for his hotel, his accommodation and stuff. So, you know, if an elite league mascot has to go, the booster club has to pay for him. He's to pay his own wage, pay his own accommodation travel. And we're flying somebody from the other side of the Atlantic across, putting him up in hotels, paying him to do pretty much the same job those mascots are going to do. Yes, he's very, very good at what he does. No, it's not for me personally, but you know, if it adds a bit to the atmosphere, people are always complaining about the price of a ticket and what do you get for it? They're trying to bring a bit of razzmatazz in, and you know, fair play to them for trying something different. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. This fella, this is what he's paid to do. He does it at arenas all around the world, gets crowds going, and he'll do a good job.
Well, of course, a friend of the show. He appeared on A View from the Bridge when he was on, when he came to Belfast Giants. He gave me an interesting story. I must have spent about a half hour. He gave me his number, or I'd got his number in regards to contacting him. He was staying at the Hilton. And I contacted the Hilton, and they were like, yep, we'll put you through to his room. He's expecting your call and to put me through to the room. And it rang and it rang and it rang and no answer. I was like, well, hold on. I've not got all day to call this lad. So went back down to the reception, called him up again, says, could you put me through to Cameron Hughes's room? He's expecting a call, no problem. And it rang and it rang and it rang and no answer. And the fella back at reception says, I don't understand. He was down here a minute ago. He was waiting on your call. He went up there about 5 minutes ago and he should be there. I was like, we'll put you through again. And it rang and it rang and it rang and eventually answered and he was out of breath. He must have been out running. There's a gym at the hotel. He must have been using it. Let's see a couple of questions. Okay, Jonathan Hughes, Matt Cruz won. With the CC in Belfast, with the Challenge Cup in Belfast, and I'm happy, do we need to look at defence in the off-season? Big Jim's not going to be about forever, and we kind of fell apart without him. Who do you see as possible replacement for Jim Vandermeer, and do we need to sign, Davey, a Dustin Whitecotton-type centre?
I think we need to sign a centre, yes, a Dustin Whitecotton, Mike Compon, those kind of players that came in and did absolutely sensational work. Can you replace a Jim Vandermeer? Only with another Jim Vandermeer type player, you know, someone with that NHL caliber experience, you know, guys that have been around and have an aura and a respect that comes with their legacy in the game. You know, Vandy's got instant respect. Not all players have that. And I hope he's around for a year or two yet, but he will be very, very difficult to replace.
Simon.
Agreed. You know, I'd certainly like to see Jim stay around for at least another year. I mean, we've seen, as I say, he missed 7 weeks. He came back against MK. Yeah, he came back against MK. And then obviously got suspended for the last two regular season games of the season. We've just seen what he has to bring on that side of things. He's just a different class act. 7 weeks out, never missed a beat.
Simon, not even that. Like, he missed a good chunk of games early season as well. Yeah. With was a broken foot or something. I can't remember now.
Lower body injury.
I think he missed 29 games overall this season, and he was really, really badly missed.
Yeah, and again, he is just pure, pure quality. He's just, you know, he's different gravy, and you know, I think that guy could play in this league for at least an hour, 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years. Just depends on what he feels, and I would really like to see him back. However, if he doesn't come back, I think you're right, David. You know, there's probably only one other person of that level in this league, and it's Andrew Hotham, and yeah. I don't think we'll have a hope in hell of getting Andrew Hotham.
Agreed. We're going to wrap it up. Not a question, but just a comment from @StevieGiants83. He says, the last few years, folk have been crying about a dull team. Coach changed that. Not every night went our way, but we sure as hell got entertained. Keith has a hell of a future ahead of him, and I'm looking forward to see him develop. And he then says, you know, enjoy the off season and thanks for the podcast. Thanks very much, Dave. On that note, thanks to everybody who put in their TFAs across the season. #TFA will of course be back Well, when we come back to our off-season. Any other business is the only thing left of the season so far, gentlemen. What you got? Okay. Nothing at all.
Says I'll speak for me and Sis. Well, first of all, I suppose from... I'm going to mention her one more time. I think she deserves a shout-out on the podcast one more time, and that's Smallsy. For all the work she's done with so many kids over the years, not just this year, culminating in as says, getting the old ears out there, you know, getting her head shaved, all the charity things that have been done this year, Martinelli, Riley shaving their beards, all the money that's been raised and sort of channeled through Laura's energy to doing that. And making this more than a club, and the money that's been raised is in the tens of thousands of pounds through Laura and her drive to make things like that happen. So big shout out to Smallsy for the final time this season. There'll definitely be more shout outs next season. But from me and Sis, I think it would be totally remiss of us to finish another season of A View from the Bridge without thanking you, because generally all we do is come on and spout opinions off here. You turn it into a show and put it out every week. Without the Director General, this just wouldn't happen. So from me and Sis, and on behalf of all the fans who actually listen to this, big thanks to Paddy Smith for doing it.
110%, David. Paddy, you know, you always basically say, oh, I'm sorry for being late, boys. I'm sorry. We couldn't do it without you. You know, I've enjoyed it the whole season again this year. Always look forward to it Tuesday night. To be honest, I'm looking forward to getting the break. Mm-hmm. I know it's Wednesday, by the way. But you're the glue that holds this thing together. And you know, the way you basically fire the questions at us. And, I mean, like, I couldn't do it. I know I talk some crap on Giants TV most of the time and just talk hockey. It's a sport that I absolutely adore. And we could this show doesn't exist without you, man.
Listen, I appreciate that, but I've always said it's a team effort, and you know, when I'm, you know, when I've had to take times off, and we know that this year has had its highs and highs for a lot of us, and personal lows for a lot of us, and we've worked together to get us, you know, to get a show out every week, and it's something that we enjoy doing. We enjoy talking about the Giants. We enjoy talking about the game. We're frustrated by many things with regards to it, but every week we dig in, and even when I'm, if I have to take a week off, and you know, and ski holidays or whatever the hell, you know, you guys dig in. You look at the Fredder Galakos incident and that, and you guys were straight on it, getting Victoria Silverwood and getting Aaron Murphy and doing a fantastic show of that. It is a 100% team effort, and one that I'm very proud to be part of. So thanks very much to you guys for that, and thanks to everybody who over the course of this season has interacted with us, be it coming up and chatting to us. We've received fantastic emails, fantastic tweets. We've been very humbled by some of the things people have been saying to us, not least with regards to look at the interview from Adam Keefe at the weekend, and highlighting us and the comments from the organisation. And that's all well and good, but the fact that a lot of guys come up to us and or tweet us or email us or whatever, and say some fantastic things about what we do here in A View from the Bridge, and it's very humbling the week on week when we just get together and do just talk hockey. That's all we do, you know, and it's something we enjoy doing, and the people tune in, the people listen on a weekly basis is quite humbling us. I just want to thank everybody for that, and I want to thank you two gents just for your time over the course of the season, because it's not been easy, we know that, it's been enjoyable.
I mean, even look at now, it's 11:30 on a Wednesday night. And, you know, again, we've had another good chat, I'd like to think we're always honest, and, you know, there's always people that want to have a go and about, you know, different things that have happened throughout the year, and there's people pop their heads up when things aren't going great. But, you know, I'd like to think that, because I'm the only one between the three of us that is in Belfast, you know, I get to see a lot more people who listen to this show, some of the positive comments and some of the way they come up to you and just have a chat, and all they want to do is talk hockey as well. And we're lucky we can put this together. Paddy, obviously, you know, goes out there and he'll stay up there for at least an hour and a half putting this together so it can be put out tomorrow morning. And again, a lot of people realise that the time and effort goes into doing that, and And again, you know, we're all volunteers. There's Davey just touched on Laura Small there. I have to say, you want to see her head at the minute? Well, that she looks like a hedgehog. It's great. but, you know, the only thing that I was going to say at the end of it, Davey, is about the volunteers behind the scenes at this organization. You know, the game night crew, all led, you know, by James. So, yes, he's an employee of the team. You know, Shane Johnson's got involved more this year. Brooks, he's obviously our Steve Thornton. All these guys that put together what happens at the SSE Arena, you know, 28 times for league games and then another couple for Challenge Cup games and what have you. But it's the volunteers behind this organization that they could not do without. I'm mainly speaking on behalf of, because I'm involved with the OSC. I think what we've done this year has been absolutely phenomenal. Yes, we've had the total support of the organization. Absolute, whatever we've wanted to do this year, it's been, yes, no problem at all. What way can we help do it? And whether that be giving us a shirt or give us a signed stick to try and raffle off to raise that little bit of extra money.
I raffle them off.
Yeah, the sponsor George as well. You pay him the whole. The you know, all these things. Every single penny we raise, every penny goes to the organization. So that goes into whether it's to help travel, whether it's buying equipment, whether it's paying for, you know, putting towards wages. I don't know what it goes to, but we, you know, we've got involved this year as an OSC, and we've been very, very lucky to have the support of the organization, but more importantly, of the fans. You know, we've got 464 members who have signed up. Then on top of that, there's families within that. So it takes our membership over 500. You know, you've got Andrea Cochran, you've got Johnny Cook, Leslie Wilson, Michael Crawford, Christine Kerr, Nicola McNair, Susan Hoy. Poppy's helped out. You know, she's over in Scotland most of the time now. But all those people and time effort, especially that they've spent at the arena on game nights, and then at the cinemas, which we've held four events this year as well, which have been hugely successful. But it couldn't happen without the support of the Belfast Giants fans. And for that, I can't say enough thanks. And again, we're hoping to do a couple of things to keep it going throughout the summer, and try and gauge a bit of interest, because I know there's quite a lot of guys that are staying around a lot longer this year, because let's just be honest, anybody comes to Belfast to play for the Giants falls in love with this country. And again, for that off-ice crew, all the guys behind the scenes on doing the 50-50s and the shirt off the back, you know, Janet Wilson bringing her what do you call them, Davey, 15s?
15s,
Every time you come, it just so happens that there's another box comes up, so you need to get over more often, you be but all those things just makes this organization the best in the league. 100%. We are unmatched in this EIHL.
Same, we're being all nostalgic and we're putting the rubber stamp on the season, and I assume we're going to have a little break here, Paddy. Simon's mentioned all the volunteers, and as you know, I volunteer, I do the stats, and I can do it. Simon's already mentioned Poppy.
You never mentioned it.
Poppy, Simon's already mentioned Poppy along with the OSC there. I have to give a massive shout out to Stevie Thompson, who tracks goalies and shots. He sent me a few stats today. He has recorded 2,656 goals through the Elite League this season. Now, he records where each goaltender concedes those goals. So he has to watch every goal and track it. 643 of the goals, by the way, have been scored in the low slot. Travers Fullerton has got the worst five hole. but there's been 3,834 minor penalties called by referees. Here's a couple of ones. 2,161 during the three-man system, 1,673 when it went to four men. The minors jumped almost 2 minutes per game in penalties from the three-man to four-man system. So that sort of stacks up with what players had said as well. You know, the referees are catching more. Brendan Connolly, most minors in this team, 51 minors. But without Stephen Thompson, this whole thing wouldn't, the amount of work that his spreadsheet's very Rain Man, to be fair with him. You know, it's a wee bit scary, some of the stuff he's sent through. But he's been tracking this for years and years. And we'll be looking for more helpers, because it's about trying to get a 0.5% of advantage through doing the stats to the Thorts and the Kiefer, that they can use these things, and you know, the guys have a bit of fun with their blocks and their hits and stuff like that. Simon will, you know, sort of verify that kind of side of things. You know, he sees some of the stuff stuck up on the wall down there, but you know, without him, there's no show without punch, and you know, I'm happy to be duty to his punch there. You know, it's been a lot of fun doing the stats. Gives you a lot more insight in the game. I'll be sticking some up as we go through them with Kiefer over the next week or two as to what exactly we can put out, and we'll put a few tweets out here and there just for a bit of fun. But thank you, Mr. Thompson, for all your help this season.
Sorry, Paddy, I forgot to mention Cathy Caldwell for the OSC again. She's been there this year, and congratulations, she became a granny only a couple of weeks ago, so
absolutely
she's had her time there as well. But again, you know, you're 100% right, Davey. All the stats, I can't do what I do at Giants TV without the stats that you used to provide me. I'm on the on a Thursday night to get my stats done on a Friday for a Saturday game or a Friday, whatever it may be, and it's all those wee things that make this organisation great, and I'm very, very happy to be part of it.
I think what it shows is the amount of effort goes on off the ice as well as on the ice with regards to the volunteers and the work that's done by not just ourselves, the OSC, Davey Stats team, all across the rink, you know, the 50-50 sellers, the works. You know, it's a real, we talk about the club, the Belfast Giants having that club mentality, and I think that's growing and growing as every season passes. And just to say thanks again to you, gents. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. We're probably talking tomorrow on WhatsApp. It does, you know, that's a, but I'll, you know, pull the curtain away from that fallacy. The quick thanks to the Giants for all their support this season. Belfast Giants TV for all the stuff they've got. All the Giants, all the webcast guys from across the league who have always been able to step forward and say, you know, we can use their stuff for the gifts and this, that, and the other. Like of Ice Time TV and the guys in Sheffield and Manchester and MK. All the coaches who have come on and the players as well. We've had ones from not just our own. I know Kiefer's been steps forward every single game, and the players step forward every single game and always there to talk to us, and as Sis likes to point out, that they're always come and talk to us first. But we've had one.
I've one more, Paddy. I can't forget this one.
Go on.
I did forget it, but I have, just as you were talking, I had to say thanks for somebody else. Michael Barr, every single game he brings me a topic.
Oh, disgusting.
And I'm gonna miss them during the summer. I know you like your double deckers, Paddy. You know, he comes up every game, brings all the game sheets and all up, him and Roscoe, Bob Ross, and they bring all that stuff up. And again, as I said, it's these wee things that just make this you know, going to game nights. And again, you certainly, I enjoy when the season finishes because you get a bit of a break from it. And, you know, I then watch the NHL playoffs, and that takes me over till June. And I usually take a rest of June and July off and get ready again in August. So it's been a great season. It could have been better, but having a Challenge Cup in our hands after for Alan's first season this year, first time in 4 years we've had a bit of silverware, I think it's a good start for Adam's first rookie season.
The coaches and the players that have come forward. Well, I will say that, lads, I know Davey, you're the stats man. I've done a little bit of a stat on my own over the course of this season, in regards to the views in the bridge. We have had 68 individual interviews take place on the show. That's not including the post game interviews that we still haven't counted them. But 68 individual interviews, and that's, you know, you going down to training, says it's you calling up people, Davey. It's the work that goes into putting a lot of the guys coming on here. We've had them we've had a representation from more or less every single team in the Elite League have been kind enough to come on and speak to us here on A View from the Bridge. And also thanks to a lot of our mates who've come on as well and chatted away. That's it. On that note, we hope that if you're going to the playoffs this weekend, that you go and enjoy yourself. Don't go on loan to anybody. Just go and enjoy. Just go and enjoy yourself. And I hope you enjoy your summer. Go out and get away from hockey for a bit, because the circus will no doubt return come September. We'll be back no doubt in a few weeks. The odd monthly podcast. Thanks to you two, gents.
Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers, David.
Wherever you are this weekend, if you are going to the playoffs, we hope you enjoy it. We'll see you here next time on A View from the Bridge. And to play out, from penalties to lost pens, and from cups to crazy weekends, it's been one hell of a season. But we'll give the last word to Boomerang Corner. He's so much better than Coca-Cola.
Good evening and welcome along to the SSE Arena in Belfast for this first Elite League game of the season between the Stenline Belfast Giants, the Guildford Flames. Lovely chance outside here. Lovely shot there. Straight through. Top corner. Sebastian Sylvester. 1-1.
You know what, Paddy? I was speaking. I've got, you know, we've been talking to a guy who the same name as myself, Phil Kitchen, who came over for the NCAA.
Your name Simon Kitchen?
His first name. He wants to be called
Simon.
Okay. Big difference.
Home to the clan. That's got to be a penalty. No, it's not. Hicks is going to allow this to continue, and as you can tell what the Steelers crowd think of it.
And there you go.
That's going to be a retaliation penalty.
But you knew exactly what was going to happen, and this is all because of Hicks.
So you can be damn sure guys in the prime of their career making pretty good money, making sure that they don't get hurt or attacked on the ice, you can be sure as hell sure that there'll be consequences to this one game ruling for proving that retaliation is justification.
Drop pass there to Galakos again, winds up, throws it in the top corner! Spiro Galakos! An assist shoot, go to David Rutherford!
Congratulations, Adam Keith.
Hi, cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matteau joining us on the line. How are you doing, mate?
Very well, thank you.
It's the head coach of the Brayhead clan, John Tripp. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Mr. Jason Taff Ellery, the hardest working man in the Belfast Giants. How are you? Welcome to the show. Jim Vandermeer, how are you, mate?
Colin Shields.
You're doing well, thank you.
Not bad, thanks for having me.
Hi, Davey, good to be back, how's things?
Still got control of the puck. Sends it in front. Josh Mitchell! Yeah! Time ticks down, and there it is. The official confirmation that Adam Keith and his Belfast Giants team are the 2018 Challenge Cup champions.